Wonderful. Wow. Wow. I think at the end, we did bring the score chart actually back with us. And I think at the end, we ought to get the speedy sprinter printers, whatever they were. The youngest boys team won the competition, which was dramatic and incredible. So we will show that at the end. We'll give out a few little goodies and things just at the end of this. I just want you to listen just for a moment. We're going to very quickly look at this. So this wonderful memory verse, can you see that? Should we just read it out together? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So as William said, we learnt this, that the Christian life is like a race. And it's not a race like an ordinary race where somebody wins and everybody else loses. It's a race that we run together. And we help each other on this race. And it's all about Jesus. So the first question we asked on the weekend was, have you joined the race? And we told this story of Ivan. Is Ivan here today? I don't know if he's here. He doesn't mind. I got his permission. Of how he decided in year 2000 he would run the London Marathon. But he didn't know that there was a process and you had to join the race. So he just ran it anyway. And when he got to the end after his 26 miles, they said, no, you didn't run the marathon. You're not even on our, you're not in our books. You shouldn't be doing this. You can't have a medal or anything. So the next year, when the London Marathon happened, he joined properly. He went through the process and he got his place. Whoa, look at him there. We showed this. He got his medal. So that was him joining the race. And we said to the children, how do we join this Christian race? Not by going to church, not by knowing the Bible stories, not by having Christian parents, not even by doing good things, but it's all about this gospel that Jesus has died for our sins. And so we taught them that there are three steps they need to take to turn to Jesus. I think children know these really well. To turn from their own way to him, to trust that he has died for them, and to receive Jesus into their hearts. And those are steps that we take. But then incredibly, there's a step that God takes. And the Bible says if we swing wide the gates of the door, swing wide our hearts open, the King of glory will come in. It was very special for us on the Friday night. A number of the children prayed and began their first steps on this race, which was amazing. So that's the yellow bit. Now look at the orange bit at the top. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. That's the first bit. Can one of the children tell me, why did Matthew come staggering into the meeting and why did he keep falling over? He was not intoxicated, can I just say. There was a deeper thing going on here. What do you think, Mina? Why was it so difficult? He had these huge, heavy, enormous things and he was sort of dragging them all around. And he was making the point that you can't run a fast race if you're carrying a load of stuff. Look at this guy. He ran the marathon last year carrying a fridge. So obviously he couldn't go very fast because he was carrying something. Look at these people. This is called the sack of coal race. I mean, why do people do these things? You have to carry a sack of coal. Well, you can't. Look, they're not even running barely because they're carrying all these weights. So we talked about what are the things that slow us down in our walk. And to be honest, this was all speaking to the adults as well. It's been speaking to me for weeks now. These are some of the things that aren't necessarily bad, but that can distract us. Let me read them out. Computer games, social media, mobile phones, apps on phones, TV stuff, books, sport, watching it, playing it. All these things can become more important than Jesus and distract us away. So we were challenged to take out some of the weights. I myself personally have done this and it's made a real difference to my own heart doing it. Then it says the next orange bit. So let's try and read that out. The third sentence, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So this verse tells us that sin easily trips us up. It's so easy to be selfish. And we talked about sin, how it's got this great big, it's got this letter in the middle. It's I, isn't it? It's got a big I. It's all about me and about what I want. And we showed the kids some of these pictures. These are some sort of almost teenagers looking quite cross, probably looking at their mother, I would have thought, who's just told them they can't do something. This one is very cross. Really very cross. This one is furious. Absolutely furious. And this one has lost the plot altogether. He's gone crazy. So sin, we said, trips us up. It's easy to demand our own way. It's easy to quarrel with our brothers and our sisters. It's easy, isn't it, at school to follow the crowd. It's hard to be different because we all want to be Joe Cool. And we want to be like other people so they'll think we're cool. And it easily trips us up. Near my house, look at this, is a picture I took last week. We have a wood. And in the wood, there are two paths. And one path looks like that. Can you see there's roots all over the ground? You walk along that, you just cannot believe how many times you could trip up. And then there's another path in that same wood. Whoa, there you go. That's a bit better. It's a tarmac path. And it's kind of like that. The sin that so easily trips us up. It's like we can decide at the start of the day, am I going to go on the path with all these trips on it where I can trip up, or am I going to walk on this path that doesn't have all the hazards? It's about choosing Jesus. So now we got to the green bit. Should we say this together? Isabella got us all saying this together. And let us run with endurance. Should we do it one more time? Let us run with endurance. This really spoke to me. There it is. Let us run with endurance. We need to remember that this is a race and not a gentle stroll through the hills. The Bible calls it a race. It doesn't say you're just going on a little walk. It's a race. And Isabella told us that endurance means to carry on even when things are hard. Here's some pictures of some hard stuff, people climbing really difficult things. And she asked this question, what do we do when things get hard? And then she said, well, what did Jesus do when things got hard? Jesus always looked to God. Look at this picture here. Jesus is healing the man. Can you see him in the background? But the people at the front are the religious people. Whatever Jesus did, they were against him. They were against him. He spent his whole life doing these incredible things, making so many people happy. But these guys, here they are. They just said, we're against you, Jesus. We're your enemies, Jesus. He continued to look to God. And then finally, those same people together, they killed him and he died, didn't he? So Jesus knows what it feels like to run the hard race. He knows what it feels like. We were aware that some of the children on the camp have faced incredibly difficult things in their short lives. And we wanted to encourage them to look to Jesus. Look at this bit though. Jesus ran with endurance the race that was set before him. That's the race that he ran. So let's run with endurance. We talked about some people who've wandered off the path, who've thought, well, this path's too difficult, I'll go on another path. We talked about these people, how we sometimes think, well, this is all just too difficult, I'm just sort of going to sit down here. But the Bible asks this brilliant question. He says, you were running so well. You were running so well, he's saying to this person. What has stopped you? And maybe for some of us here, we feel we've come to a stop. We're not making progress. This verse has the keys for us to make progress and to get up and get going again. You were running well. We need to remember that when the things get hard, we need to turn towards God and look towards him just as Jesus did and not away. It's like when the washing machine floods the kitchen, your first thought is, oh God, why has this happened? It's okay, I'll sort this out. We've learned when the washing machine floods the kitchen, the very first thing we'll do is to say, oh God, please, we don't understand when this is happening, but could you help us? We need to turn towards him, and so often when it's difficult, we do the opposite. We turn away. There's a picture of a woman looking towards him. He finished his race. Isabella told us this in no uncertain terms. I wanted to shout when she announced it. He finished his race. He was completely victorious. Let us run with endurance. And how can we run the race better? How can we run it faster? We need the helper, and we talked about him. Who is the helper? I think the children know now. Yes, the Holy Spirit, this wonderful Holy Spirit who wants to come and help us. There he is coming on Jesus. He helps us to pray because we don't know how to pray. He pours out love in our hearts when we really can't love someone. Look at this one. This is stunning. The Holy Spirit makes Christ precious to us. How wonderful is that? We talked about how God wants to fill and fill and fill us with the Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit to run this race. And now we're on the last bit. We're going through this at a pace. We are on the blue line. Should we all say it together? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. And Nick told us about this man called Linford Christie. Who has heard of Linford Christie? Yes, it's probably an older generation that's heard of him. He was the fastest man in the world, and he was English. This was in the 1990s. And he was famous for running the race. He ran the 100 meters with his eyes absolutely fixed on the end. In fact, they used to say he didn't blink. He never blinked during the 10 seconds. He just fixed his eyes. And it's a wonderful picture for us. So I think if this works, we're going to show you a little video clip of him running. Now, when I show it to you, could you look at one thing? Look at his eyes, because honestly, his eyes are crazy. Let's have a look. Let's see if this works.
The 1992 Olympic 100 meters final.
He's in the middle.
Christie comes storming through. It's Linford Christie. The time, 9.96, and the British captain is the Olympic champion.
Watch his eyes.
The fastest man in the world in 1992.
Amazing. Did you see his eyes? His crazy eyes. Oh, it's going to do it again. There we go. There you go. Look at that. That's a still. In fact, somebody in the end bought that, Nick said, and they did an advertising thing and put little tigers on his eyes or something because he was running so fast. He so fixed his eyes, and this is what it's talking about. Fixing your eyes on something means you keep looking, you don't keep looking away, you don't turn aside. What if Linford Christie had run the 100 Olympic meters, but he looked to the crowds to wave at his mum during the race? I just don't think he would have won it. He won it because he'd fixed his eyes, and obviously he was a stunning athlete who'd worked towards it. Nick suggested these are some of the things that help us fix our eyes, starting our day with him, talking to Jesus. I try and make it the first thing that I think in my mind. I say, Jesus, you are my Savior. Try and say that every single morning. We ask him for help when it's really difficult. There's Peter sinking. It was very difficult. We read the Bible, which we're encouraging the children to do, and we obey it. Fixing our eyes on Jesus means being taken up with him. And finally, here we go. Why would we want to fix our eyes on Jesus? I show this picture in Flame quite a lot. It's one of my favorite pictures. Look at the way the people are looking at him. Just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth for 33 extraordinary years. He was the Son of God, and he lived and he walked on the earth. And nothing like this had ever happened before, and nothing like it has ever happened since. And when he was 30, he got baptized by John, and you see the Holy Spirit came down on him, and then he calls his disciples, doesn't he, by the lake. And he talked to men and to people about heaven as if he'd been there. He worked extraordinary miracles. Look at his hands. He worked miracles with those hands. He multiplied food. He calmed the storms on Lake Galilee. He had power over the winds and the waves. He even walked on Lake Galilee. And people brought very sick people to him, and he healed them. And the men around him began to say, who is this man? Who is he? We have never seen anything like it. Incredibly, the Bible tells us as well that huge crowds came in from other countries, from the north and the south and the east of Israel. Thousands and thousands of people were gathering, so many that sometimes Jesus stood in a boat. And after 3 incredible years, he tells his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And then do you remember that night? You can see in his hands the he's got the bread and he's got the wine. And look at their faces now. They're so sad about what's going to happen. And the following day, we know Jesus died. Look at the sky there. It went dark. And he died as the lamb from Bethlehem for the sins of the whole earth. These are extraordinary things. And then he was buried here. Do you see the stone rolled across and the Roman soldiers were sitting there? 3 days later, just as he had said, the Holy Spirit came into that tomb and raised him from the dead, and the angels pushed away the stone, and then he appears. Look at him. Look at their faces now. They can't believe it. He's alive. They saw him die, but he's alive, and he's showing them the nail prints on his hands. And 40 days later, he goes onto a high mountain, and he tells them, I am ascending into heaven. I am ascending to my throne. And then the cloud takes him out of their sight, and look at this picture. He rises up into heaven with the angels around him. He had finished his race. If I was in an African church, they'd probably all shout hallelujah at that point. But he had finished his race, and he was completely victorious. This is why we want to fix our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to finish with this last verse. Nick read this out to us, and it was so powerful. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus because, as Paul said, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all rubbish. Look at the words in red. All I want is Christ. Wow, that was a man who had fixed his eyes on Jesus. We're just going to look at that verse, and let's just think about the verse for a moment, and we're just going to pray. So maybe we just close our eyes. This verse is so powerful. It speaks about so many things. And maybe I could just pray, and we could just calm ourselves. The children as well, the kids in flame, and then we're going to finish with the fantastic praises song. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just think, what are these things that are weighing me down, stopping me going on with Jesus? What are the sins that are tripping me up in the path? Am I turning to God when it gets really difficult? Or am I just turning away and saying, I'll sort it out myself? And are my eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who ran the race, the pioneer and perfecter? Lord, we just come to you. Oh, how we worship you in our hearts, Jesus. You were the one who ran the race for us. You were the one that finished your course. You were the one who went to the cross. You were the one raised up from the dead. You were the one, Jesus, who ascended into heaven and sat down at your Father's right hand. We worship you. We worship you today, Lord. And we just come to you and ask, help us. Help us to strip off these weights, Lord. The stuff on our phones, the stuff on the computers, the stuff that's too much that crowds you out. Help us, Lord. Help us with these sins, Lord, where we don't forgive someone and it keeps coming back. Lord, where we judge people, where our attitudes are wrong. Come, Lord, wash us. Wash us in your blood. Take away these sins, Lord. Help us to walk on the tarmac path, not the one full of the trips up, the roots. Lord, help us to run with endurance, Lord, and turn to you when it's difficult. Please help us, even for the people this morning who are right in the middle of difficult things. Help us, help them to turn, Lord, to you, because you are able to help us. And finally, Jesus, we pray, could we be like Linford Christie was with that race? Could we fix our eyes on you and not get all distracted and looking around? Could our eyes be on you? Could we say like Paul, Christ is all I want? Jesus, would you do a deeper work, a more powerful work in our hearts, Lord? And we pray for the precious ones going to New Day this week, for a fantastic thing to happen there, that those ones who've already been at Carity Wood, it would be an amazing time, Lord, for them. Jesus, we so pray and ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Brilliant. You have listened very well. We are going to sing, where's Isabella? We are going to sing praises.